Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, first day of the week for our daily editorial. Boy, I got to tell you, there is some very, very interesting news going on. I just got to get Jimmy's opinion on all of this. First of all, let's talk about the Democratic National Committee saying no debates for Democratic candidates this year. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, it's not with an incumbent president, it's not unprecedented to for the party in power to not have a debate. In 2019 and 2020, the Republican Party did not sponsor any formal debates with their primary candidates because there were basically just a couple of libertarians, Weld, Walsh, I think Sanford from actually South Carolina. And they did not, the RNC said, we're not even going to have a debate committee. And okay. Of course, the Business Insider did run a debate in September of 2019, but with Joe Walsh and Bill Weld. Mark Sanford actually declined to come. But ultimately, it was because they had so low polling and they weren't really – they're actually libertarian candidates or, you know, in Sanford's case, the former governor of South Carolina that got in trouble for sleeping with a foreign just a foreigner while he was married. Right. Kind of an ugly event. And he ran for Congress down in the Charleston area in kind of a purple area.
Right.
But he lost out to Nancy Mace later. So obviously there was not a big level of support for these candidates. What will be interesting to look at in 2024 and this upcoming primary in the Democratic Party is I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to have a much larger base of support, and that may force the Democrats to actually have a debate. And if he gets on all the tickets, if RFK Jr. gets on all the tickets around the country, then the pressure will be significant for Biden to debate. Of course, they're not going to want him to debate because he's mentally diminished his capacity. So I think it's interesting, but at the same time, it's not unusual or unprecedented.
Jimmy, what do you think the chances are? And I'm very serious with this particular question. What are the chances of the Democratic Party, i.e. Biden, totally controlling this election coming up?
Well, I think that's exactly what they're working towards.
Yeah.
I think they're doing it with funding. I think they're doing it with legal law enforcement issues. I think they want to take away the opposition party. They want to destroy it. And it looks like that they've got some advantages with that right now. And unfortunately, many Republicans don't understand the level of fight that's going on here that's actually trying to destroy their party. But I will tell you, Al, there is some movement, some things that are happening out there that will probably maybe change the direction of the Republican Party as well.
Give me some examples, Jimmy.
So, you know, I was at my county convention or our reorganization meeting a couple weeks ago, and I was elected president of my district.
Yeah.
I'm in Lexington County and in Amex Ferry. That is the most Republican county in South Carolina and the most Republican district within the county. And we had our convention this weekend, which was basically to elect new leadership. There were two slates of individuals running for leadership positions in our county's party. And I will tell you that the MAGA, the actual Trump supporting team won hands down. So that's a big change here because the old guard the people that want to keep things the way they are that really don't understand this battle that's going on have lost a lot of power. And I think that's happening around it. Happened in certainly a number of different places around the state this weekend in their conventions. But I think it's happening around the country. So there is an organizational movement that is pushing back against the narrative in Washington and the Democrats. The only way they're going to be able to control it is through law enforcement and media control, and basically control the message. And unfortunately, we're seeing that on an incredibly high level with Fox News' announcement of basically, ousting Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I'm very, very unhappy about that. But let me say one thing more about the situation with Biden. Was doing some background research last night for today's editorial, and I got to tell you, Biden in all the polls just should not be elected as the next president of the United States, Jim. But you know that. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, you bet. So 70% of the polling, of the population says, hey, don't run again. What, nearly 70% or over 50% of Democrats say don't
right.
run again. He's in the, very low approval rating. And when you start talking about economy, when you start talking about border security, when you talk specific issues, really, really down miserably. So there's a belief somehow that the Democrats think that this is going to be a wise choice for him. In the past, when a Democratic candidate was this far, underwater, they backed out. I will give the example of in the 60s when Johnson was running, was in his – well, he did half a term after replacing JFK after the assassination. He did another term, and he could run again, but he actually withdrew because of the Vietnam War and because of the pressure within the Democratic Party was so intense. In this case, I think the Democrats don't I think moderate Democrats don't have much of a say in the party right now. And I think the aggressive progressives are dominating the dialogue inside the party. And they're pushing agendas here that will either take us down the road to complete oblivion or destroy the Democratic Party in the long run.
Well, I think at this moment in time, just, putting this thought in your head, I don't think they're just going to disappear. I think they got some very, very clever leaders who we don't even know about. I don't think they will disappear, Jim. I was very, very optimistic, as you know, last week when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced that he was going to run. I was incredibly optimistic about that. And I guess the question that I will put forth here is he popular enough in the Democratic Party because of his background, because of his family, that maybe they can overrun the decision by the Democratic National Committee? What do you think?
Well, I think if he maintains that support, if he keeps over a double digit, over 10% support, and a polling shows that he has that, then they're going to be forced to have a debate at some point. They won't want it, but I think they'll be forced to. And my guess is that he won't have enough power to win it, but the Democratic Party is going to do everything it can to both undermine him and to protect their chosen candidate. If Biden announces, which the expectation is he's supposed to announce his run tomorrow, then we're going to see quite a an attack on RFK. At the same time, that may actually blow back on the people that are trying to control the message. And you're right, there is a tremendous amount of power behind the scenes. There's a tremendous amount of money behind the scenes. A lot of corporate interests, a lot of globalist interests, a lot of Bombites, people that supported the Bob administration. They're actually trying to destroy the history of our nation.
Yep.
And they're going to do whatever they can. And it is clear they're doing whatever they can to take power and to keep control.
Yeah. Well, they really are. Now, let me ask you this. In a very basic sense, in your opinion, okay, on the one hand, you've got somebody who the electorate of the party don't even want to see run, obviously Joe Biden. On the other hand, you've got a guy who's really got name recognition, whose big problem is he is very definitely against many of the internationalists. Do you think that he can beat I'm going to call it a lobby, and that may not be the correct term, but that's what I'm going to call it. Do you think that Kennedy Jr., Robert F., is strong enough to defeat the lobby that he's really running against? Because he's not running against Joe Biden. He's running against what I would have to call being the illegal Democratic lobby made up of, free speech, but made up of
censorship, tech companies,
everything,
global corporations. Everything,
thanks, Jim. Everything like that, yeah. But primarily, it's made up of people who really want to see a worldwide economy as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, they want global governance, and he is running against that. Is he powerful enough to overcome it? In 2006, Donald Trump surprised everyone with that.
Right.
Of course, they've consolidated their efforts and really pushed against Donald Trump. He's still fighting, and of course, RFK is doing a similar thing within the Democratic Party. Is he powerful enough to beat him? I don't think so. But by keeping the voices out there, and I think he is powerful enough and has the endurance enough. Hopefully he's not killed like his father was or his uncle.
Yeah.
But I think he is powerful enough to actually get the dialogue out and to force a conversation on the COVID response, to force a conversation, force people to think about the global impact and who's controlling the Democratic Party and what their interests, where they really lie. And that is going to be a powerful voice. I think he will be able to do that, and that will have an influence on the population to a certain extent, because he is a side Democrat. You know, he is a long time, family connected insider in some ways. So I think that's a possibility, though. I do believe there are tremendous challenges to overcome with the amount of control the Democratic Party has on the electorate. And certainly with the information support and the censorship of the tech companies and the major networks.
Well, you're going to call it the Democratic Party. I'm going to call it the Globalist Party, because I've been saying for a long time, ever since the last major election, I've been calling them globalists and not Democrats. And I think that's what they definitely are. When you're up against money like people like Bezos and Bill Gates are throwing into the party and other people, that's a pretty tough fence to jump, Jimmy.
Well, it is, and that's where Democrats are. That's who they're catering to. But it's not just Democrats. There are Republicans that are doing the same thing, and that's why we don't have action where we should to protect the interests of the nation, because there are numerous Republicans that buy into that globalist agenda as well,
right,
that uniparty state in D.C. Another interesting note. I mean, we really got to talk a little bit about Tucker Carlson.
We're going to shift over to that,
And Don Lemon as well. So
yeah,
Don
exactly.
Lemon at CNN was fired today. That's fantastic. What's not fantastic is Fox fired, or apparently they separated. We don't know the details with Tucker Carlson. Don Lemon had very little support, and had already bounced down from his evening show and then down to the morning show and had embarrassed himself numerous times.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson had amazing numbers on both his network evening show as well as his online show. And he was the voice, the one voice that was logical, that was consistent, that was reaching out to conservatives, not Republicans necessarily, but to conservatives to say, hey, here's what's happening and we've got to do something about it. This weekend, Tucker Carlson spoke at the Heritage Foundation conference, and in that, he basically said, this is no longer about politics. It's really between good and evil.
Yeah.
We need to pray 10 minutes a day and really stop listening and, stop supporting these other, those corporate globalist entities, basically, in a summarized version. And he made a very good and effective point. I am curious how much that had on the impact on the Murdochs firing him. They're talking a lot about the Dominion case, where Fox settled on that for the $780 some billion. I think Fox is covering up its own involvement in election engineering, and I think Tucker Carlson could have possibly called that out and the fact that he actually was, and this is maybe why he left. Maybe it was his choice. We don't know. We're only speculating at this time. But maybe he is ready to throw Fox under the bus, and he's got a big voice and a big opportunity to do that if, in fact, Fox was shaping the election and shaping the outcome through their influence over the Arizona, calling Arizona early in November, on November 3rd, before midnight on the East Coast. They called that, and everybody was questioning it. Yeah. And, of course, there's so much information on potential problems with Dominion machines, even from Democrats. There is sworn testimony in the House and the Senate on election reviews from previous events that those machines can be hacked. And Fox settled with this, and I think that that is absolutely criminal and corrupt, that they did that in order to cover up their own involvement in it. And I'll bet you there's something else going on behind the scenes here with Tucker Carlson.
Oh, I'm sure there is. You know, I got to tell you, I am probably one of the biggest fans of Tucker Carlson in America today. I have the last, I just checked last night because I cleared off my saved section on my TV. I probably took off somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 60 of his programs. I was that much enamored by the way that the guy told the news. He was absolutely great, and all I can say is I hope that Sean Hannity can pick up the slack. I don't know if he can or not, but I hope that he can. What do you think?
No, Sean Hannity can't pick up the slack. Sean Hannity is not the same type of guy. He's not a very deep thinker. He's got a voice, but it's diminishing voice. Tucker Carlson actually is been intellectually strong and making the points. What I would love to see, I mean, if you think about Fox, they fired Megyn Kelly, or she left. Yeah. They fired O'Reilly. The O'Reilly factor, and Tucker took over for him because of a kind of a crazy Me Too accusation about calling some staffer hot chocolate or something like that.
Yeah.
They are undermining their own. I mean, Bill O'Reilly was the number one. I mean, for years was the number one listened to talk or news.
O'Reilly was great. I'm looking at my bookshelf with my library in it. I've got every book that he has co-authored, and they're all great.
Very effective. Yeah. Good communicator.
You
Megyn
bet.
Kelly, good communicator. Fox is destroying itself. I think this was a huge mistake on their part. I think they're going to get hammered for it very quickly.
Yeah.
They're going to lose a lot of listeners because people are afraid of what's happening right now. Conservatives are afraid of the silencing of speech and voices.
Yeah.
Now, we do not know what Tucker Carlson is planning to do. There is a possibility that he's working together. He just met, just interviewed Elon Musk last week. Maybe there's something else going on here that we don't see. Maybe there's a new network or a new effort to come out with news that he'll be involved with. But I'm sure he's not going to quit this fight because I think he understands how.
No. I agree 100%. I think that he'll go probably. I think the trend in terms of communication, I think that Tucker is going to advance that trend by doing putting out his thoughts more than any place else on the internet. That's such a huge audience.
Yeah, I think so. I think Babylon Bee just came out with a very interesting comment, because usually Babylon Bee is kind of it's a satire. But this headline says a lot. Fox News fires the only reason people watch Fox News, attacking Fox News for firing Tucker. I think this is a mistake kind of like Budweiser made with the Dylan Mulvaney endorsement.
The second exec just got axed this morning, by the way, who was involved in that. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So I think this was a huge mistake. I think the new news director there is going to pay dearly for it. I think their money financially, they're going to pay dearly. They're going to lose power. But I will tell you, Fox News and the Murdochs, being most of the organization is now being run by Lachlan Murdoch, they're globalists.
Yeah.
They control the Wall Street Journal. They control a lot of
messaging.
There you
go, Jimmy. There you go.
And that's what we're seeing right now is actually an effort to silence people that might, in fact, help shape this resurgence of American sovereignty and independence against globalist ideology.
May happen. I hope it doesn't, but it may.
It's a crazy day because you see Don Lemon getting fired. You see Tucker Carlson. But you also see Susan Rice, who's the White House domestic advisor. She has announced her departure from the White House, I think, on the 24th or the 26th of May. I'm not sure which day. She was a foreign policy person under Obama. She was the national security advisor, the UN ambassador. She's the one that went before national news networks all Sunday morning after the Benghazi event to say that there was a videotape that caused it, when in fact the entire Obama administration knew that it was not a videotape. She lied to the American public. We lost four people there, including the ambassador. And then, of course, you know, she moves on to take over as the national security advisor. Rather than being penalized for lying to the public, she's promoted in the Obama administration.
Yeah.
She comes back under this administration as the domestic policy advisor.
Yeah.
And I will say that because of Susan Rice and Ron Klain, you have the border crisis.
Yeah.
You have increasing crime. You have a series of problems with transgender ideology. I mean, the basic policies that have been dividing this nation were driven by these people, by Susan Rice and Ron Klain. And my guess is that the administration has got to make a change because they got to find some place in the middle right now because they've gone so far to the left.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting day. Very, very interesting.
Oh, it's probably without a doubt the most interesting day, certainly of the year, the most interesting day of 2023. But I got to tell you, we've been talking about the demise of America for a long time. Today could be the first big day.
I am saying that April 24th, 2023 is the true start date of an information war in America.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. We're going to have some great editorials on this stuff starting today. Today was a good one. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, you bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.